Hi, I'm Patricia Carvelis, the host of Politics Now. And sometimes it can be hard to cut through all the noise from the Canberra bubble. But on the Politics Now podcast, bursting it wide open is our core business. I'm joined by the brightest minds at the ABC to break down the poly-speak and have a chat about what's actually going on behind the scenes. It's called Politics Now, and you can find it on ABC Listen.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
On Assassins, we've been looking at the lives of two Punjabi artists who were both assassinated. Punjabi hip-hop artist Sidhu Moosewala and Punjabi folk singer Chamkila. To discuss these two artists and the bigger world of politics, diaspora, and Punjabi music, we have a special guest, Punjabi-Australian hip-hop artist El Fresh the Lion. And I should say, this is a rare episode where both the host and the guest have lion references in their names. El Fresh the Lion and Aslan, which literally means lion. So this may be the most lion-heavy Punjabi music conversation ever recorded. You might know El Fresh from songs like One in 100,000 and Survive, which he performed live on Triple J for Like a Version. El Fresh is part of the Sikh Punjabi diaspora and has built a career around the very themes at the heart of this conversation: identity, culture, and the weight of being a voice for your community. Welcome, El Fresh.
Thanks for having me.
All right, before we get into Sidhu Moosewala and Chamkila, I'm curious to what sort of Punjabi music did you grow up listening to?
I had the whole mix. My playlist was varied and diverse. One of my older cousins was an amateur Punjabi DJ and would DJ all of our like house parties and friends' birthday parties and stuff. And so we had the wide spectrum of your classic, Punjabi songs from whatever was popping at the time from Punjab, but also the UK stuff that was popping. And the ones that really stand out to me, the ones that I still go back to, are classic Punjabi MC songs, classic RDB remixes and songs. I love to go back to True Schools music. I go back to every now and then as well. So these are ones that kind of really stand out to me. And then Jazzy B was big in my youth as well. And he had a couple of songs that were like soundtracks to periods in my life. So yeah, I grew up with quite a wide array of Punjabi music growing up.
Did you listen to much Imran Khan as well?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
That was the big one for us.
Yeah.
So which of these artists shaped you or your music career?
I think the ones that maybe had specific influence on me was probably RDB and Punjabi MC. And in particular, those two, because I started to gravitate more towards hip-hop music growing up in Western Sydney, Southwest Sydney. Hip-hop was my palette and what I was really connecting to and relating to. And those two artists really started to blend hip-hop with Punjabi music in really unique and interesting ways. I remember it was a remix that IDB had done of a Tupac song, Letter to My Unborn Child. And that was one of my favorite songs when I was in high school as well. And to hear that just kind of blew my brain, and just that synergy and the connection there. When Punjabi MC started dropping tracks like Jogi and obviously Mundi at the Bajke.
Jogi's probably my favorite.
Yeah, Jogi's my all-time favorite Punjabi song. And the music video is phenomenal too. Mm. So like those artists in particular really, really connected me and grounded me. Another one that stands out as well, and I still come back to every now and then, is Dr. Zeus. And Dr. Zeus was probably the first concert I went to of a Punjabi artist or producer as well when I turned 18, when he came to Australia. So yeah, those pop front of mind when I think of who influenced me and impacted my direction a little bit as well.
I guess their styles really set the pattern to artists that we now recognize, like Sidhu Moosewala or Karan Aujla, right? That combination of hip-hop with traditional Punjabi vocals.
100%. They were finding ways to kind of blend that sonic palette in really interesting ways.
When Sidhu Moosewala came along, do you remember when you first heard his song or that period of your life when you first started hearing his music pop off?
I think it's hard to, if you're a Punjabi, it's hard not to have like been impacted or to have known the name of Sidhu Moosewala in some way, shape or form. Like his impact was felt globally and almost felt like almost immediately, like he came up out of nowhere. But now looking back and knowing his story, he was obviously working at it for quite some time. He had this passion for music for quite some time, but he just kind of like hit like a meteor. He was so impactful. His presence was so magnetic and people were just drawn to him regardless of, you know, how, you know, your age group. He kind of crossed generations, but in particular, he was really becoming the voice for a younger generation. So I remember some of his early songs. I think the first one that kind of stood out to me that really blew up on my radar was East Side Flow. And actually a friend of mine did the music video for that as well, who's from Melbourne, which I didn't know at the time. I didn't know that connection at the time until later, that same friend, we shot another music video and he was telling me about those experiences. And I was like, man, I had no idea you did that video. But that song was one of the first that really just caught my attention.
Well, did Sidhu feel like a continuation of Punjabi music, or was there something new that was causing him to be so magnetic?
I think he was doing something new. Mm. I think what he was doing, he was unapologetically him. Often with Punjabi music, particularly when I was growing up, there was, and there still is, like Punjabi's folk music. So there's formats, there's convention, there is tradition within how songs are presented, how songs are written, the melodies that are used, and instruments that are used. I think with Sidhu, he kind of just was like, saw himself as an original songwriter and was very much so inspired by Tupac, which is, you know, huge for me too. I was very much inspired by Tupac when I was starting to make music as well. But he saw himself as an original songwriter. And so he took those conventions, but then flipped it and did his own thing. And I think that's what really made his style unique. And he was using beats that were hard, beats that were very much so globally relevant in terms of being a sound palette for what hip-hop was at the time and still is now. And that made him very, very unique.
So Sidhu Moosewala was murdered in 2022, right? He was warned before he died, but he kept going. What does that tell you about him as an artist?
He had such strong conviction and he had guts. But to me, he is almost like emblematic of the Punjabi spirit. Mm. Punjabis don't back down. And a threat is almost like a pat on the back, like saying you're doing a good job in some way, shape, or form. You know what
so
I mean?
Like, would you say that he actually understood the level of danger he was in?
I think so. There's footage of him where he was on stage at one of his shows. I can't remember. I think it was in Canada, where he was talking about on stage that he had just been threatened over the phone and someone had blackmailed him or something like that. And he spoke about it on stage that doesn't deter him, that doesn't make him afraid, you know, he's going to do what he's going to do. And that you hear the crowd in that audio just kind of gravitate toward, like cheer him on, like they're supportive of him in that way. And, you know, I don't think that he didn't care. I think, you know, again, it's one of those things. It's like Punjabis don't back down to bullies, and I think he embodied that. And he was just like, I'm not going to take it. And I think his songs played a part in that. You know, sometimes as a songwriter, when you're writing songs, and I can speak from my own experience, it's like you are writing from a position of the best of yourself. You're trying to become the best of yourself in the music that you're creating and the persona that you're trying to create. And sometimes the artists, when they're writing songs in the way that he was, where he is very much so a hero in his music, it's like he has to live up to that character. If he backed down, he would not be living up to the standards that he set for the character that he put in his songs. Not to say that wasn't him through and through, but that was an aspect of him and his personality. So he had to stay true to that. Plus, he was also inspired by Tupac. And, you know, he spoke about it in interviews. If I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out the same way.
What's that line? Role models sare mere goli naal mare ne.
Exactly.
All my role models were killed by the bullet.
Exactly.
Yeah. Chamkila sang about private hypocrisies and Sidhu Musiala sang about violence, pride and rivalries, right? Would you say that both of these singers were more or less singing about the same things but just in different eras?
Definitely different eras, definitely political contexts were different times were different. I think with Sidhu Musiala, just knowing a bit more about his story and seeing it play out, like at a certain point, he wasn't just taking on, rival artists or portraying enemies in his music and taking them on. He started to take on power structure and he started to talk about, government and systems of oppression and couple that with being a strong, heroic figure to which a lot of young people looked up to. It started to definitely put a target on his back, not just from a wide range of people who saw him or perceived him as a potential threat. So, he was really kind of evolving in as he started to get older, and then of course he ran for politics too. Towards just before he passed away, he started a journey of wanting to try to make an impact politically, and he tried to do that as well.
So Chamkila left behind 200 or so songs that he hadn't recorded yet, right? Sidhu was only 28 years old when he was killed in public. What did they actually lose in terms of their career? How much potential do you think they had they lived longer?
It's always the case with artists who pass before their time or what we perceive to be their time. They're always sitting on so many songs and we wonder what impact they could have had. I think it's one of those things, or it's like as well as knowing from artists of that magnitude who have lived on, is like once they reach a certain age, their roles change and it becomes less about the music they're releasing and making because they've had the impact, they've already established a legacy. It's like, what are they doing with that now? And a lot of artists tend to do a lot for communities and tend to do a lot to help build in the places that they're from. And so it's like we've missed out on that potentially with both of those artists. And we know with Sidhu especially as well, and he was doing a lot for his local village and he was helping to fund education for young women in his village and so on and so forth. So that's the unfortunate reality, is like they had reached a certain level of heights as in terms of success as artists, and their stars were still rising. I know with Sidhu as well, like he was on the radar with artists like Drake and Burna Boy. Yeah. So it's like there was a potential crossover moment.
Burna Boy made a song with Sidhu, didn't he?
Apparently there's a whole mixtape they made together.
Right,
there's
right.
One song that came out, but apparently there's a whole mixtape that they had made together. So there was a potential global crossover moment there for Sidhu as well that was pending. I know after he passed away, Drake was doing OVO Fest and he was wearing a shirt with Sidhu on it.
Yeah.
So, it speaks to the impact that he was having, but both of those artists that they were having in their respective times, and who knows what we missed out on, we'll never know.
I definitely agree. There would have been massive crossover, especially when you look at artists like Diljit now, who is collaborating with huge artists in the West.
Right? Yeah, Diljit's doing amazing stuff and he's really breaking down barriers for what's possible as a Punjabi artist. And he was just on Jimmy Fallon recently.
That was an incredible performance with Morni, wasn't it?
Yeah. He was just on Jimmy Fallon. He did Coachella. He's been selling out arenas around the world. He was here in Australia and having that impact as well. So Sidhu was definitely on that trajectory too.
How did Sidhu's music affect you personally, both as a Punjabi man, but also as a musician?
For me, growing up in Southwest Sydney at a time where it almost felt like your culture was not celebrated, your culture was not cool, your language was not celebrated, your language was not cool. It kind of made me, that pressure made me fold, and I caved to that pressure to the point where at a certain point in my youth, I abandoned connection with my mother tongue language of Punjabi. And so I lost it completely. I had to relearn it in my mid-20s to this day. So I would say now I'm like Australian fluent. Like I can speak Punjabi. I'm good. I could go to Punjab by myself. I'll be fine. But after 5 minutes, people from Punjab are, no, I'm not from Punjab. That I'm from somewhere. They'll pick up on something.
Same experience here.
Right? So I started making music. And music, to this day, I've only released 99% of my catalogs all in English. Seeing artists like Sidhu the impact that he'd been having and he's having globally encouraged me and motivated me to be like, well, now maybe it's time for me to try doing this in Punjabi. Now's the time for me to like, now, you know, they made that, that impact was felt to the point where it's like that crossover moments were happening. It wasn't just for Punjabis to listen to Punjabi music. People from outside of our community were tapping in and really enjoying the sonics of it as well and enjoying the music. And so that really encouraged me in the last few years, particularly before he passed and then since he's passed as well. That's been a big inspiration for me to try to make music in my own language.
Mm. So what part of Sidhu's story stayed with you the most?
That he was having an impact on his community, that he cared for his community, and that he stood for something bigger than himself. Mm. Those are the elements with every artist that I'm massive fans of. Like that's what draws me to them, and that he's certainly that. And, you know, he has these songs where it's just like many other hip-hop artists, it's flashy, it's like, it's
never
like
fold.
A movie. Yeah, Never Fold, like... you know, all those kind of songs where it's just like big, it's braggadocious, like there's that. But when you look past the surface and at what he represented and what he meant to people and what he meant in particular to young people, and then what he was doing for his community, once you look past the surface as well, like that really inspired me. And that is something that I'll remember.
Do assassinations like these make you think about what you say in your own music?
Yes and no. I'd say yes only because it becomes a possible thought. You know, you don't know what the boundaries are. Was there a moment that he did something, said something that crossed the boundary, but who decides what that boundary is and where it exists? So, you know, those kind of internal conversations happen. But then on another level, you know, you see the impact that he was having and what it meant. For him to be doing what he was doing and speaking on what he was speaking on and making the music he was making. So on another level, you like that. That's what's important. So that kind of motivates and inspires more than anything else.
If someone has never heard of Sidhu Moosewala, what song would you recommend for them to start with?
Can I name three?
Name as many as you need.
The entry point, I would say, is a super easy entry point, is Mera Naa, which is the song he has with Burna Boy.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
That's a super easy entry point, and very much so that song is just about, you know, my name is everywhere. Like he's saying, I had that impact. And Burna, I think, added a part to that song where he reflects on the impact of Sidhu as well. So that's probably an easy entry point. My personal favorite is a song he has with an artist named Shooter Kalon called Game. And that song almost is like where Sidhu's playing the role of a bigger brother to Shooter and talking, giving him advice on what it's like to come through the music industry. And it's a real beautiful song and inspirational, motivational song. And the music video for it is really cool too. It's like centered in a village in Punjab. So it gives you an insight into just the makings of these artists. So I really like that song. I always go back to that song. And then the last one I'd suggest is 295. And we touched on that briefly, but 295, you know, he has that line in there. The translation in English is like, you know, when you speak the truth, that's when you get slapped with penalties, you know, from those in power. That's where you could get locked up or you could face repercussion. And he's kind of talking about, I guess, his journey and the trials and tribulations of being a person in a position who's been speaking on what he's been speaking on. So I think those give you capture some of the essence of Sidhu in a nutshell.
Well, what is it about Punjabi music that allows it to keep producing these global figures, but also figures that are a little too big to protect sometimes, right? We have Sidhu Moosewala, who was assassinated in public, and then Chamkila, who had a similar fate.
I think Punjabi music is so cinematic. I think the artists that come up and really start to have that impact globally resonate because what they're writing about and then how they present themselves, the aura that they have and how they present themselves in the music video is very cinematic, and they almost like become heroes or heroines, you know, like they're just those types of figures. And that just resonates with people, and especially in a community where it's like, we obviously have a strong film industry and film culture, but the music tends to be sometimes what carries some of the films too, you know, and it's the songs that carry the films and really like become moments for them and that people remember. But I think there's just something about the stories, the personalities and the songs themselves that just feel so cinematic that make them feel and seem larger than life. It's must be in the water.
Awesome. Well, El Fresh, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm sure many people are going to learn a lot about Sidhu Musiala and hopefully enjoy his music. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I recognize my people by face before I know the name. Smile when we greet because we understand the same. Share the same side through eyes watered with pain. Yet we hold tightly onto our faith and maintain. We speak on each other's life, share mutual respect and connect because we're one in a fight, knowing with insight that the battle will test. But we gotta stay ahead of the race.
Assassins is hosted by me, Aslan Pahari. Hannah Jose is the producer. Sound by Tegan Nichols. Kyla Slaven is the supervising producer. Executive producers are Joel Werner, Eric George, and Jessica Radburn. As well as listening to Assassins, you can watch full episodes of the show on YouTube and Spotify. Those videos are shot and edited by Tejas Bhatt. If there's an assassination you think we should cover on the show, please email us, assassins@abc.net.au. I hope to hear from you soon, my friend.